Senate Bill 5540 relative to the Oregon's Racing Commission. Yesterday we interrupted at the close of the day with Jody Hansen, and we as the Executive Director of the Oregon Racing Commission. And this morning we invite Carol to be with you too as well. And we have Lori Byerly from Budget Management back. So with that, please continue on, Jody. Thank you very much.
Good morning, and thank you, Mr. Chair. Yesterday we left off with we were talking about what could be expected in terms of outcome from the Racing Commission budget request. And it is our hope that we'll continue to perform and evaluate our mandated responsibilities, which directly correlate with our established mission, goals, and performance measures and strategic plan, as stated above, with about 25 employees for our 17.68 FTE. And the agency is really striving to accomplish our mandates in a financially efficient manner, and we will continue to implement cost-saving measures. Inspections of licensed locations outside of the Portland metro area are now trying to be coordinated if there's necessary travel to fair meets and outside of the metro area. We do a lot of chemical testing. I've had a lot of discussion about how the chemical testing is being done, and we're doing it as conservatively as possible at first, with additional testing only as necessary. We've also discussed possibly job sharing the second veterinarian position, which we just filled, hoping that that may decrease the use of relief veterinarians, which is can be an additional expense. The Commission is not requesting any funding at this time to update its current computer system, which was purchased in 1995, and we are using in-house expertise rather than going to outside resources to monitor our system. I also wanted to note that although the budget was developed with the intent that revenues from live simulcast and multi-jurisdictional simulcasting totalizer hubs will remain static, it is possible that our hub revenue could increase. This would benefit the citizens of Oregon through additional money transferred to the general fund, and would also enhance the Racing Development Fund, which benefits the Oregon pari-mutuel industry. Conversely, revenue could decrease for a variety of factors, including the economic climate remaining in its current state here in Oregon, and or one or more of the five licensed hubs actually electing to move out of Oregon. This uncertainty was the basis for the budget note from the committee at the last session to maintain a six-month cash balance. And that is the conclusion of that part of the presentation. And I also did want to mention that before you is a organizational chart of the Oregon Racing Commission. Yesterday, Mr. Chair inquired about some of the positions that we had being executive management positions. And so if you have a magnifying glass, you can...
I wondered if you could get this any smaller.
Yeah, and maybe we'll hold it about 5 feet away from your eyes.
That's about where I'm at right now. Is that I can get out some of the letters there, Doctor.
Yeah, it's
this going up, and it's going this way.
There's an eye examination for the day. And if you can read this, I'm just kidding. But anyway, this does outline who everybody is. And Lori Byerly yesterday was kind enough to do a little bit of research into our agency and as far as how these positions were established. And maybe she'd like to make a comment on that.
Sure. Chair Butler, only member of the committee. Lori Byerly from Department of Administrative Services Budget Management. And yesterday I did talk with Human Resource Services staff in our department about kind of background on the Racing Commission's classification structure. And essentially the feedback I got was that it is well recognized that some of the positions in the department don't fit well into the current classification system.
These
judges, these stewards, even the veterinarian position, there's really no appropriate classification.
Executive slash manager for nearly everyone in the department is a stretch, and I guess it's just that's just how you classify them within the Department of Human Resources structure.
It's the best fit the way the classification system is structured now. What they have done over time as these types of positions have become open is to try and look at them and try to assign them to a level in that series that will work for compensation and recruitment and retention reasons, try to you know, put them at a level that will bring in the appropriate type of candidates and retain those.
Let me ask this. Are these positions, too, that have access to sensitive and confidential data? I would assume some would have access to that, and thus you'd have to have a manager level in a lot of this because of that.
Yes, Representative Chair Butler. The other comment that HR, Human Resource Services, made was that, and since this is such a, you know, one type, unique type of function, I mean, you could maybe look at creating some classifications for these types of roles, but the expense of doing that is rather cost prohibitive in terms of what you're actually going to get for it, because you would just be tailoring classifications to this very specific type of function in one agency, and it's never risen to the top of the list of being able to look at or review simply because of the cost and the fact you're only impacting a small agency with a few positions. The other thing that I asked about, Mr. Siebert had asked me about, that we have a state veterinarian position that's in the Department of Agriculture, and that position and that classification is tailored specifically for that statewide coordinating role within the Department of Agriculture.
Does that have to be a certified vet?
For that position, yes, sir. But that classification is written specifically for the statewide veterinarian role, and the racing vets wouldn't really fit within that classification.
The reason that I'm asking about that is, with the expansion of the veterinary college, we will have other veterinary assistants and other folks that are coming up through the ranks. That might be a good way to train them and keep them in the state, too, if they're particularly horsey people or racing people.
Yes, Chair Butler.
One question that I had relative to some of the monitoring you're doing, I recognize, Jody, that this is a unique situation and that we've got a unique set of circumstances surrounding the five hubs and so forth here in Oregon. The amount of monitoring, is it required, the monitoring that you're doing of the races and the monitoring of all of the other kinds of monitoring activities? You'd indicated that you were doing a rather substantial amount of monitoring, and we put some resources into that.
Yes, Mr. Chair, and as far as horse racing goes, the judges are the stewards are actually the judges of the races, and there's an additional judge who's actually an association judge. So those three members are basically the judge of all that goes on out at the racetrack.
That lends to the integrity of the system.
Absolutely.
Other monitoring and oversight that is done, you'd indicated that we had a great deal of that goes on. Is that in excess of what other states do, or are we unique?
No, Chair Butler. The other monitoring that goes on is there's the investigations unit, and they actually monitor. They kind of actually police the area in many respects, and then also conduct investigations of alleged violations of statute or rule. And the auditors, the paramutual auditors, look at the daily handle that comes in, and they make sure that the amount matches up to the tickets and so forth. There's also a matter of tickets that aren't cashed in, and so that money subsequently reverts to the state as well. So that's tracked. And then the supervisor of paramutual the auditing and the licensing monitors all the hub activity on a day-to-day basis, too, on a computerized spreadsheet.
What of the surveillance? Is all of that required?
The
surveillance that we do, overall track surveillance and so forth?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair.
And that's not unique to Oregon. That's similar to what other states do.
Yes, sir.
And I assume that there's rather significant amounts of money that are being transacted and changing hands.
That's true, Mr. Chair.
I come over to the supervisor of licensing and paramutual. And there are two auditors there that are administrative specialists too. Are those administrative specialists too, or are those auditors?
Mr. Chair, they are administrative specialists too, and they just have the working class
of
name
auditor.
Of auditor, yeah.
Okay. And the training and background to become an auditor?
Basically, this is Carol Morgan. I'm the executive assistant for the
Race Commission. Thank you, Ms. Morgan.
Mr. Chair, the auditors normally have a good accounting background. Their background skills, they are not specifically accountants. but they do have background in accounting and in bookkeeping, and oftentimes they have background in banking. And they are these two individuals have been specifically trained for that position. I noticed in even finer print, regretfully, each of these people have been in their positions. One was in the position beginning in 1989. The newest one was there and began in 1997. So they have been in those positions for some time.
Okay. Thank you very much. I didn't want folks working out of class as auditors when they were administrative specialists too.
No.
Okay. And so far, Lori, as far as you've gone through this and can read it, it's on your computer screen somewhere, but you've probably a size that you can blow it up. Is it? Everyone's working within class. We don't have problems there.
Chair Bevel, members of the subcommittee, for my review of this and my conversations with Human Resources Services Division, my belief is that they are in the best class possible at this point in time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Please continue on, Jody.
And that would conclude my presentation comments, and I would be happy to entertain any additional questions that you might have at this time.
Thank you, Jody. Carol, were you going to give a presentation at all? Or?
No, I was not. I was here to answer questions.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your being here today and taking the time to be with us. Are there questions that came out of yesterday or today's presentations from Jody or St. Patrick?
I've missed a substantial portion of this, Mr. Chair, so I apologize, and I'm not in a position to ask for it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rev. St. Patrick. And I apologize for not keeping you more abreast.
We're bouncing in and out of here, Mr.
Well, and I apologize for being a few minutes late myself. I just got delayed down my 8:30 in hearing room A, so I'm expecting a call almost any time. And I told them I was in the very last room on this wing, and they probably have called in there already expecting to catch me. And let's see, you covered number four, the expected outcomes of the benefit of the budget, and then the seven-page handout following that was all just amplification of your testimony. Is that correct, Jody?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Are there other questions of the Racing Commission folks? Representative Patrick?
I do have a question, and I apologize that I looked at this budget, I think the last two sessions, and so I'm modestly familiar with it. I did have a question, though, about the investigators as we kind of look at your chart and knowing what the number of investigators are. We're state police officers that Representative Butler and I went through in the Oregon State Police budget. Based upon the volume of casino gambling that goes on versus the volume of particularly racing, it seems somewhat, and the number of venues, it seems somewhat excessive, I guess, for lack of a better term, on the number of investigators. Can you maybe speak to that so I have a better understanding?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, we do have three full-time investigators and the chief investigator at this time, plus two off-track monitors. Racing is a 7-day-a-week type of activity. So during Portland Meadows, it's 7 days a week. So part of the responsibility of the investigators, which are classed as investigator twos, is to be on the grounds themselves and just kind of monitoring what's going on. And then during the summer meets, because of the way that they're spread out, the Greyhound racing is going on as well, and so there's one or two stays at Multnomah Greyhound Park and the other two go out or vice versa. The off-track monitors work 0.78 FTE, which is just a minor amount of time a month, and they go out to the off-track sites for off-track betting and check them out for security purposes. There's laws and rules pertaining to guidelines that they have to follow for the amount of money that's coming in and out.
I guess my question: How many days a year is racing going on?
Mr. Chair, Representative Partridge, Portland Meadows has, if you're talking about live racing days, for instance, Portland Meadows has 80 racing days. However, there are other things related to that that are going on in other parts of the week. There are entry days. There are hearings being conducted on the days that live racing is not going on. The investigators are actively involved in any cases that are being heard before the Board of Stewards. They present the cases. They have to do all the background if there is a violation of a statute or a rule. So,
but my question is 106 days of racing, according to the information, in 2002. 106 days
total. That is a total
live racing.
I see.
Those are actual race dates where racing takes place. And
what if the investigator's time is spent on live race versus the paramutual or telecast? Or
Chair Butler, Representative Partridge, I would say about 30 to 40%. The rest of it is at the other times, and that's when most of the work is being done.
But what do they? I guess what do they do during that other? Can you give me an idea of what they? If there's only 100 days of racing, I understand they may be doing an investigation. Or they may be appearing at a hearing.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough by any.
They are. This.
Do they go sit at the local bar on the off-track days? Do they go sit at the local bar that has the paramutual and observe?
Chair Butler, Representative Partridge, I wish I could speak a little bit more about my knowledge of the investigative unit, but I can assure you that one of the things that I'm currently doing right now is trying to figure out exactly what everybody does. And so last week I met with Mr. Bob Mannix, who's currently the chief investigator, and asked him for a variety of different kinds of information so that I could track what the investigative unit is doing. I may be able to answer your question better in a couple of weeks. I'd be happy to supply that information to you.
Jody, one item that seems a little inconsistent, one question about investigators. You said three full-time chief and two off-track monitors. On page 2 of 7 of your testimony indicates comprised of a chief investigator and three investigators and an off-track monitor. Is that five people?
Mr. Chair, it's actually I thought that there was only one off-track monitor, and then I realized that there actually was two when we were doing this chart yesterday, and I apologize for that misinformation.
Okay, we'll work with Mr. Siebert to get that.
So is there another 0.75 FTE there? Or there are two.
Chair Butler, Representative Partridge, there are two individuals sharing that 0.78.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Representative Partridge, I believe also the investigators respond to complaints statewide with training. I know in my visit they were dealing with a case that was in Eastern Oregon with the training of horses and some concerns about how the training was occurring, so that they not only deal with investigations at the site but also with training methods.
And these are for licensed?
Yes.
Oregon licensees. They're raising horses mm-hmm. and training horses in Oregon.
Exactly.
What kind of jurisdiction does the Racing Commission have, though, over the training of horses?
For example, there was concern.
I mean, other than, I heard this big rise from the crowd, the limited crowd that it is.
Sure, but Larry, Representative Partridge, any facility that is licensed by the commission. And the area that I believe Paul is talking about is there's a training track that is licensed in Hermiston. We have jurisdiction over that and any of the training that takes place at that facility. And if there are violations, we have jurisdiction over that. And in fact, we have notification that one of our investigators is going to be making a trip up there this week because we have an ongoing concern up in that area.
Of a licensee?
Yes, and what is going on at that facility, yes. Okay.
I mean, what are they drugging horses, or I guess that's the issue on the train. I mean,
regretfully, at this point, since
I don't want to know what your particular investigation is, but I don't know what the scope of most of it would fall with under the criminal laws of the state of Oregon.
Well, excuse me, Chair Butler and Representative Patridge. Here again, anything that is taking place in one of our facilities where. Training or anything's going on, we're concerned about the welfare of the animal, the safety conditions of the facility, the training methods, whether or not the licensees, people who are training the animals at that facility, are within the rules and the statutes of the Racing Commission. Those are the concerns that we have.
To get this, Representative Patridge, have you investigated criminal activities? Or are these just violations of racing activities?
Chair Butler, these, if there are violations of racing activities or anything of our rules and statutes, we work with them. But if there is concern about criminal activities, that is then passed on to the appropriate authorities.
Okay, point. Senator Devlin is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wouldn't want to put the new executive director in a bad position, so I'll just ask this question to the. Can somebody just review the history for me briefly of funding for the commission so I can understand how this there's an explanation here which I've read before about how revenue is generated for the commission, but it appears that there must have been a lot of negotiations in terms of how much revenue goes to the commission and for what purposes, because that's the only part about this budget that I don't really understand.
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, the Oregon Racing Commission budget is funded through licensing fees, of which we issue $1,500 or so a year, and they are $30.
Majority of your funds would come from the hubs and from the...
Majority, well, it's listed in statute in 462, and the majority of our funding comes from the tax on the races, the parimutuel racing, is on dog racing. It's a percentage of the total handle, and the handle is the total amount of money bet. Believe me, this is really confusing because I was confused at first too, and I'm just starting to understand it myself. I apologize if I'm not as clear as you would like. So on horse racing, it's 1% of the handle, and it's 1.6 of the handle on dog racing, and that.
Yes, please.
That's all funds wagered.
That's all wager funds.
Okay.
That's right. It's a tax on. It's a parimutuel tax on the race, basically. Is how the operating budget comes into play. The actual hub money isn't our operating fund. That money that's coming in from the hubs, actually, a third of it goes. It's 0.25 of 1% of that total handle. Tax is lower than the statute require. The statute gives a range, and so 0.25 is an attractive tax that's drawn these hubs to us. And that money, one third goes to the general fund, and two thirds goes into the racing development fund, which then goes back to promote the development of racing in Oregon and promote agriculture and all the things that go along with that. So there's two parts. There's the hub part, which really isn't our operating budget. Our budget comes from licensing and the tax off of the handle for racing or betting on racing, wagering on racing. I guess wagering is the term.
By your statement and some of the written testimony here, if you were to adjust that fee upwards, you would probably potentially lose some of those hubs from the state.
That is correct, Senator.
Thank you.
We also have some folks here to testify on behalf of the, and we will carry public testimony over until tomorrow, But we do have some folks here to testify on behalf of the Racing Commission, I believe. I don't know whether they've signed up, but they look like they're in the starter gates there all along. With that, thank you very much. We'll go ahead and invite, and I don't know who signed up, but I see Jeff Gilmore and Dave Nelson, or Mark Nelson, rather. Dave. I don't have glasses on. Nelson, anyway. Yeah, there is Dave. Can we invite you to come forward? If you want to say anything on behalf of the commission, I don't know whether you've signed up or not, but...
Chair, we had prepared written testimony for tomorrow. I didn't bring it.
Oh, okay. Well, bring it tomorrow then. And
we can bring it tomorrow.
Okay, Jeff. Are you gonna plead the same false start here?
False start.
Okay, we'll put that off until tomorrow then. With that, we'll meet at even time tomorrow and take this up and finish it tomorrow. Thank you very much, Jody. Appreciate
Thank you
very it. Much. Anything further for the good of the order? With that, thank you very kindly. Sure.